Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was some video clips from Donald Trump attending Game 5 of the World Series. You heard kind of the mixed crowd reaction, but yes, there were obviously some boos. Then you heard the clip that's going viral that sounds like the crowd is chanting, "Lock him up." Now, some people are claiming that's doctored and amplified. Others say that it's legit. You can be the judge. But regardless of the legitimacy of that clip and whether there were more boos or more cheers, hearing the reaction to President Trump being announced at the World Series is actually pretty heartbreaking to me, and I'll explain why. It's the same reason, except on a different level, why I got heartbroken over that video that's gone viral now. The Pussy Scouts using little girls and the classic image of Girl Scouts and that Americana to be directed against Donald Trump, lying about Trump, claiming he's a racist, putting him on camera with someone in a KKK outfit, and other such nonsense. That same brainwashing that they do to the youth with videos like that, they've obviously done to the entire American Republic. Now, I'm not saying President Trump should be liked by everybody. I'm not saying President Trump is perfect. Heck, disagree with Trump on all of his policies if you want. But for that to be the reaction of President Donald Trump at the World Series game, if that was the true reaction, there was no editing with the chants, and if there were overwhelming boos, it just makes me sad for America, because that's not the welcome that Donald Trump deserves. And it's funny, because on Saturday night, SNL ran a skit where they made fun of President Trump, saying he made ISIS great again. That's right, a whole skit, Donald Trump making ISIS great again. And then the next day, they released the fact that they just killed the top ISIS terrorist. Now, again, people are debating whether that's real or not. But my point is, it really shows the polarization of Donald Trump, the man, in this country. Because if you think about it, it's not really political. Why would the entire country not be cheering for Donald Trump with what he's done in the Middle East, giving our soldiers a chance to claim victory and come home, something we haven't seen in decades? Why wouldn't the fans be cheering President Trump, who has the economy going gangbusters, record low unemployment, stock market hit another record today? So just on the average, with the basic logistics of Donald Trump as president, politics aside, he doesn't deserve to be lambasted with boos, but he is. Why? Because the mainstream media has lied about him for 3 years, labeling him a racist, labeling him a xenophobe, labeling him this, labeling him that, saying he colluded with Russia, saying he colluded with Ukraine, all of it nonsense. And so then what happens? The president has an opportunity on a classic American stage, the World Series, to be there in front of the public, non-political, for the whole world to see. And what do we get? Boos and chants against the president? That is embarrassing to this country. But that is exactly what the mainstream media wants. That's exactly how they want America to look. Weak, fractured, divided, and quite frankly, ignorant. And that's what it looks like when Donald Trump gets booed at the World Series in Washington, D.C. Now, granted, he is in the swamp, so maybe some swampiness takes over there. But that is not the response the president deserves. And I think it's sad, because my guess is most of the people in the stands would like to cheer for the president. But because of the liberal bullying and because the lies of MSNBC and CNN and the rest of the alphabet news agencies, they're afraid to cheer for Trump. And then the rest of them who fall for the fake news stand and boo. So this is how our country has been propagandized and divided by mainstream news lies. So it's really amazing to see that actually in firsthand during the World Series. Really sad. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday, October 28th, 2019. This is the InfoWars.com War Room. So much is happening right now that really, I don't think anybody has the capacity to put it all out there coherently and connect the dots as a constellation like we like to do here at InfoWars. But man, you had all kinds of documents getting released over the weekend, whether it's the Finders, whether it's the Sidney Powell with the Flynn case, or there was another one that was linking Biden to Ukraine with Soros and other such people. And so it's hard to even keep track of all of this, ladies and gentlemen. And we're doing the best we can here at InfoWars, but my goodness, we are really at the brink here when James Comey goes on national television and says that he is going to move to New Zealand if Trump is reelected. Now, it's really odd, the weird symbology and subliminals that James Comey has been engaging in the last, well, really year, but last couple of weeks especially, because New Zealand is the escape route for the globalists, especially those in the West. They all have a bunch of land bought up in New Zealand. That's their escape plan. They have redoubts and, armor tunnels and such. Matt Lauer's compound was exposed out there. Comey now saying the same thing. So this was already their plan, but here's Comey symboling, because he's smart enough to know everything he's saying is being recorded anyway, right, at this point. So he can't tell all the corrupt people he's been working with, hey, we better get to New Zealand. The hammer's about to come down on us. So he's just signaling it out to the public, saying, well, if Trump wins again, I guess I'll just have to move to New Zealand. Ah, and then all the people that knows what he's saying are thinking, wow, Trump is really about to nail these people, isn't he? So we'll see if James Comey is able to abscond with the rest of his criminals inside the Obama administration to New Zealand, like he said. But they've been caught red-handed, ladies and gentlemen, whether it's the FBI editing the Flynn reports, whether it's the sex cult known as Nexivim and its connections to the Democrats and the deep state, whether it's the most recent FBI dump, the Finders, which we'll be covering that today, FBI investigations into sex cults where they rape children ritualistically. And of course, it all ties into who? Jeffrey Epstein. So the picture is coming clear if you're wanting to see it, and you're just the average citizen out there. But to the people who've been covering this forever, it's the constellation was already there behind the clouds, just like we knew it was. It's just the clouds are starting to clear, and we're starting to get a better picture of it all. And then you have, I may have to wait and do this till tomorrow, but there's a lot of things that are very focal right now that I think indicate that maybe there's something we need to kind of have a self-gut check on here. But one of them was the announcement of the top terrorist killed by Trump. Now, we know that they lie about this stuff in the past, and we know that this stuff can be used as political capital. So is that what Trump was doing? Is that what his administration was doing? Was it genuine? Did they fool Trump? Is it the real deal? Is Trump going to now declare a victory and pull the troops home? This is going to have to be a type of results-based analysis that we're just going to have to wait and see. But man, when the Washington Post and the rest of the anti-American media come out in praise of this individual, that really makes you scratch your head. Because that's next level than all of a sudden them all becoming Kurdish overnight. That is really next level stuff. And then you have Susan Rice saying, well, Obama should have known about this. Trump should have informed Obama about the killing of this ISIS leader. What? Huh? What? It really just shows you the power grab they're going for. Oh, and then I remember talking to Bob Barr about this months ago when they were threatening to do this and it was totally illegal. Or at least it's never been done before. Now they're going to try to move forward. And you've got a federal judge ordering the Justice Department to turn over the grand jury material. Now, this could be the type of thing that comes back to bite them, but this is unprecedented. This grand jury material has never been turned over in such a manner. And so it's really incredible that they're pushing for this. And so really, I should just get Bob Barr on to talk about this, the legal expert here. But just know, this is just them pulling out all the stops. There are some interesting developments right now politically. You've got, obviously, the Democrats are just spinning a brokered convention. Unless Hillary Clinton throws her ring in the hat, this really could be a brokered convention. You've got the 19th House Republican set to retire. This is a big void the Republicans are going to have to figure out how to fill. And do not believe that's a coincidence, folks. There is all sorts of blackmail and threatening going around right now behind the scenes. And the Democrat Party, you could say, is systematically picking Republicans off one by one. And now Soros is back in the DA races, spending millions in the last session, now coming back to spend millions again. George Soros buying off district attorney seats across the land. Of course, you had Katie Hill, that Democrat representative who was doing some weird sexual perversions of her own, cult-like behavior. She has resigned amid the affairs with the staffers, amid the paying off of the female consulting fees that she was engaged with in an affair. And, of course, all the weird pictures of her with, you know, the Iron Cross. I guess she's a Nazi for that, too. She does have blonde hair, so I guess she is a Nazi. And, of course, smoking the big bong. So she is gone. But who's next? Ilhan Omar's crimes? The campaign fundraising questions and ethics violations of AOC? The lying from Adam Schiff? Let me just go through a couple headlines real quick before we take this first break. 1 in 3 millennials sees communism as favorable, survey finds. Oh. That's like stabbing me in the heart. Video, melee at Oakland school board meeting as teachers jump barrier, clash with cops. I was trying to cover that last week. The images are unbelievable. We have Will Johnson and Harrison Smith out at a teachers board meeting here where they're trying to sexualize the kids. So stay tuned for that. Jury awards nearly $20 million to police sergeant told to tone down your gayness. So he was trying to get a promotion. They told him to tone down his gayness. If he wanted it, he gets $20 million. President Trump's company looking to offload DC Hotel. They're claiming it's making too much money. And then it's become a talking point for his enemies. Boy, that's an interesting one there. A beautiful facility they have out there. Very popular and a safe haven for Trump supporters. They shut down that. I don't know where they go in DC. And NBA are seeing a lot of Hong Kong protests happening right now. So I assume that will continue. Christian doctor of 30 years loses job for refusing to use the transgender patient's preferred pronoun. And then the UK court ruled he's incompatible with human dignity. So if you don't use the proper pronoun that some sick individual claims to be, you are now incompatible with human dignity. So just make up whatever you want. Everybody has to call you that. And if they don't, they're incompatible with human dignity. Real way to set the bar out there in the UK. Ladies and gentlemen, we have big specials happening at InfoWarsStore.com. It's really exciting to see all the reviews of first-time customers that are coming in about the Survival Shield X2, about the bodies, about the Turbo Force, about the Super Male Vitality, about the Living Defense, which you never even talk about. And deep discounts right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Everything must go. Sale up to 70% off and free shipping store-wide. Free shipping store-wide. We had a competition for the brand new hat. It's okay to be okay hat. It's brand new at InfoWarsStore.com. We had a competition. We're going to come up and announce the winner of that competition today. They will receive a free hat. How can you hate that? A free hat coming your way. We'll announce the winner of that competition really soon.
Infowars.com/show.
ready? We good? We good? Okay. Owen just ran in. He's got to run somewhere. I thought this might happen. I actually tweeted out that I might come on at 4. It's Rob Dew here, by the way. Thank you for joining us on the War Room. I didn't think it'd be this early. I thought I was coming on at 4, and then it was like, oh, no, you're on at 3:20. Oh, okay. Let me get everything together. Anyway, I'm not even sure what Owen was covering when he left. The stuff I wanted to cover, here is the Finder's report that just printed. I just want to make a little statement here. That's what it sounds like. So the FBI released a bunch of redacted pages looking into the Finders. And just thumbing through this, I've got one spot here. Let me find this one that I'm like, oh, this is interesting. This is out of Tallahassee. Let me put it over here so we can see it on the big cam. But here it is. I mean, this is the FBI report on a group that was made to, that was basically kidnapping children for satanic rituals. So the pictures of children with slaughtered goats was not a ritual sacrifice, but rather an attempt at a hands-on experience. One mother, who wasn't sure the ordeal was necessary or that she approved, indicated that the three men were present at the time. They thought the experience was well-intentioned as an experience for the children to learn. She likened the slaughter to what is done in a conventional biology class. Now, quick poll. How many of you in biology classes were slaughtering goats? Okay. Me neither. I think we cut open a dead frog one time, but that's about it. Several mothers indicated the robes being worn by the men were actually sheets the men wore during the slaughter to protect their clothing. Okay? The sheets. They weren't robes. The slaughter of the two goats on the Virginia farm at the end of the summer, and the goats couldn't be left there alive. The meat from the goats was taken back to Washington, D.C., to the group where they ate the meat. The children had the experience to see where meat comes from, which... on its surface, okay, that seems like it might be an interesting idea, but then you look at what else these people in the Finders were doing. Sexual exploitation of children. So I had to actually, just to get this printed, I had to put it in three parts. Here's an interesting thing. So there looks like there was a 48 hours expose done in the early 90s, back when I really wasn't paying much attention to what was going on. I just graduated high school and was into college and didn't really look at many things. But I've got... that's a tweet thread I'm going to read from later when we get going. But this is Chief Tucker, an associate producer of 48 Hours. I would like to request that under Florida Chapter 19, you make available all files and materials associated with your investigation of the Finders organization that took place in 1987. I will be in your city sometime in the middle of the next week and would like to examine the records in person. If there's a copying fee, CBS News would reimburse your costs. So that was CBS News, and that was to Chief Mel Tucker. Although we, for some reason... we don't know who was requesting this from CBS News because they blacked that information out. That's interesting. It's interesting to see what the FBI thinks is important. Okay, and also here's a quick show note. By the way, come back to me, please. I'm giving away this hat today. I put out a contest. If you went to my Twitter, it was on the it was the pinned tweet. Come up with an idea for the commercial. I'm actually still going through some of the finalists. Darren McBreen was helping me. We're going to create a little list of finalists here. And by the end of the show, we will have that. Also, we have a really interesting video that surfaced. It was actually shot in August. And this is a group out of Utah. A lady was in there with her cell phone going to a UN meeting where, of course, they were talking about things like, you know, Agenda 21 and controlling the population and reducing the population. And a person in a uniform with a heavy African accent was saying, no, you cannot film here. You cannot film here. This is a compound. This is international territory. So the UN was basically going, and this is in Salt Lake City at the Salt Palace. So a publicly funded institution. But I guess when the UN comes into town, they can take over. By the way, I don't know if I've introduced myself. I think I did right in the beginning. I'm Rob Dew. I'm one of the news directors here at Infowars.com. Been here for 10 years, and I haven't been doing much TV lately, but I am behind the scenes editing things. You might have seen the Fentanyl the Dragon series. That's something myself and Darren McBreen do. I'm basically shut in this back office editing video constantly. But we're going to get into the Finders. This is from the Epoch Times. FBI releases information on the Finders, a secretive group accused of child sex abuse. This was the video that we'll play that you just saw a little bit of. Actually, this is the D.C. clothesline. UN takes over Utah taxpayer-funded venue, claims it's international territory. So we're actually going to have the lady on that shot this video, and then a group from Defense Utah, the head of Defense Utah, or Utah Defense, to talk about what they are doing, what they're seeing. It's pretty interesting. Utah is going to kind of come into play here in the 2020 election because that is the state Mitt Romney is from. So it'll be interesting to see what is going on there in Utah. But some of the things we'll be talking about with them is lawmakers criticize Utah's planned next generation surveillance program as North Korea-esque and Big Brother. And we just had covered a story. Keep it on there, guys, right here. Austin Home was being implanted with trackable microchips. This is to test pilot a program that eventually they will be implanting into you, and they're making it seem cool. You notice how they're making, we've been talking about bug eating for a while here on InfoWars. Well, now it's coming more out into the open. You're seeing like PBS type shows and little web events where people are eating bugs. So this is all about conditioning. This is all about humans are bad. This is all about your way of life that you once knew it is not going to be the way it is in the future. It's going to be internet kill switches. It's going to be only going to certain websites. It's going to be living in coffin-sized apartments and then going to work and not having a life other than doing work and listening to the state and not speaking out and not eating meat anymore. They're going to take away your source of protein and replace it with cockroach milk. If you don't believe me, that cockroach milk exists. Look it up. It's gross. They actually milk cockroaches. If you think it's the movie Snowpiercer, it's about a futuristic dystopian movie about a train that's flying. A global cooling has apparently hit the planet. And so they're flying around on this train, the last humans of the Earth, and they're eating, literally eating bugs and putting them into little bricks that people eat. Maybe we can find the Snowpiercer segment on what they're eating. pretty gross stuff, but that was that looked like the holiday version of Snowpiercer. So we'll be back here after this quick break. Don't forget, we are listener supported, and people who go to InfoWarsStore.com and check out all the great deals there. Right now we have a great deal on iodine. The tri-iodine and the original Survival Shield X2. Some people can't absorb the Survival Shield X2, so we have the tri-iodine. And it's also being, it's like a triplet pack with the selenium. So those are all great products. Alex Jones will be telling you about them all throughout the show. Don't worry. But there it is. Stop the iodine conspiracy. Check it out. And we're going to be giving away one of these OK hats. Sometime during the show, we will announce the winner. And you're watching The War Room on Band.Video.
Infowars.com/show. Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
It is something we call the quickening around here, where more happens in a week than has happened in a month or a year. And things are really starting to heat up. I, for one, kind of lost faith. And, I tell you, my faith is still shaken in the system of law and order because we've seen so many people get away with so much. Just, you know, Democrats and Republicans. This is not limited to any one group. The political class, the elites, the super rich are allowed to do things that us mere mortals aren't allowed to do. And if we get caught doing them, we get the book thrown at us. Something happens to them. They get a long 400-page report that exonerates them. And we've seen that time and time again. So when I hear that there's thousands of sealed indictments and trust the plan and all this other stuff and nothing happens, I get disillusioned. But what we've seen in the last few days, just on Friday and then looking at some of these record dumps and the Flynn situation that's been dragging on for years. And now we learn that Lisa Page altered his 302s. And on top of that, it looks like Lisa Page was in a three-way with Peter Stroke and Andrew McCabe. It just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. And it's just like Trump a few months ago made the decision that Barr could release anything he wanted to. And it looks like Barr is releasing stuff. So this is all coming up, all coming up to a head. And I want to get into the finders in a little bit. But I want to play this clip from Barr. He defends the Durham probe and rips Comey, FBI, for failure of leadership. And now we've heard the Democrats say this about Barr. Oh, no, he's just the president's lawyer now. But I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case. But we'll see. I want to see the evidence on either side. I want to see the evidence for Comey. I want to see it all come out. I'm sick of this secrecy stuff. I'm sick of these redacted documents. I'm sick of one side gets to tell their story and the other side doesn't get to speak. I want to see it all come out. So let's go to Barr right now talking about the Durham probe, Durham the Bulldog. Here it is.
Durham, who's the U.S. attorney for Connecticut, is in charge of the investigation, and I understand he's making great progress. As you know, he's a 35-year veteran of the department, great reputation for nonpartisanship. He was selected by two Democratic attorney generals to do sensitive investigations for them. He's a by-the-book kind of guy. He's thorough and fair, and I'm confident he's going to get to the bottom of things.
That interview happening just moments ago. David Spunt is live in Chicago with that. David.
Hey, Sandra, good morning from Chicago at the International Association of Chiefs of Police. President Trump set to take the stage behind me in about an hour, but the attorney general has been meeting with members of law enforcement this morning. Before, though, meeting those members of law enforcement, our Justice Department producer, Jake Gibson, had a chance to sit down with Mr. Barr to talk to him about the Durham investigation. President Trump and his team are calling it investigating the investigators. Now, last week, we learned that the investigation into the origins of the Russia probe is now criminal, headed by U.S. Attorney John Durham out of Connecticut. It started as an administrative review back in May, but now that has changed. The president and his supporters, they say that now Barr and now Durham will have the ability to impanel a grand jury, issue subpoenas, and file criminal charges. Now, Sandra, despite traveling to Italy with Durham and introducing him to officials in the UK and Australia, Attorney General Barr says this is John Durham's and only John Durham's investigation.
We'll let the chips fall where they may. I think they all know John Durham's reputation, and we'll just see how it turns out. But I do want to say that one of the reasons Mr. Durham is able to make the kind of progress he's making is because Director Wray and his team at the FBI have just been outstanding in the support and responsiveness they've given.
The attorney general praising the FBI. Before he even took the oath of office, Bill Barr was asked if he would be President Trump's personal attorney or the attorney general of the United States.
There they mentioned it again.
Still a lot of criticism there from Democrats.
All right, we can bring them down. We can bring down the Fox News talking heads. He's the personal attorney. So even Fox News is getting in on the act. I wrote this, this little poem just a couple days ago that only one person retweeted. So I'd like to share it with you now. John Durham's nickname is the Bulldog. Bulldog smells meat. Only takes him 2 weeks to eat. Be patient while Bulldog feast. So there's my little ode to John Durham. We kind of have a funny thing. It happened a few years ago. We cut up a clip from Total Recall where he's trying to get aboard the spaceship to get to Mars, and they're like, where are you going, sir? He's like, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. He just keeps saying 2 weeks over and over again because it always seems like it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks, we're going to get the inspector general report. 2 weeks, we're going to see some indictments. 2 weeks, it's always 2 weeks, always 2 weeks. And then we cut that with Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where the George Clooney character is trying to get some Dapper Dan. Hey, when the Dapper Dan. And he's like, how much for, when's the Dapper Dan getting in? Well, 2 weeks. And he asked for something else. That's going to be 2 weeks too. Wow. And this is a geographical anomaly. We're 2 weeks from everywhere. So I always feel like those two clips relive in my mind every time I hear something come from the government. It's going to be 2 weeks. Just wait 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks, something else is going to be 2 weeks. But what will not be 2 weeks is this lovely It's Okay to Be Okay hat that we're going to be giving away here today on the show. I put out a quick contest on info on my Twitter, at Dews News, D-W-S-N-E-W-Z. And basically just come up with your idea for a one-minute commercial. So we have, I think, three or four finalists. McBreen's collating them. I went over a few, and then he's looking at them. I'm going to give his 2 cents. And there it is. There's my sullen look with the hat. I wasn't happy. I had three of these hats on my desk. So I'm wearing one. I'm keeping one in reserve. And I'm giving one away. I'm giving one back to the community. So if you got in there on that, we might be reading your quick pitch for a one-minute ad. And we'll go from there. Also, before we go to break, let's play this clip real quick. This is, I believe, 13, guys. And this is about the death of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, which I think just means dude from Baghdad. So here it is.
A team of about 70 American commandos led by the Army's Delta Force assaulted the compound in northeastern Syria in a violent raid that began Saturday evening, East Coast time.
When we landed with 8 helicopters, a large crew of brilliant fighters ran out of those helicopters and blew holes into the side of the building, not wanting to go through the main door because that was booby-trapped.
2 Americans were slightly injured. 5 of the people around Baghdadi were killed. Others were brought out as prisoners. 11 other children were unharmed.
We were in the compound for approximately 2 hours, and after the mission was accomplished, we took highly sensitive material and information.
Boxes of documents.
From the raid, much having to do with ISIS, origins, future plans, things that we very much want.
All right. So, yeah, that brings me to this tweet. So at 6/12/16, al-Baghdadi killed in U.S. airstrike. 5/28/17, killed in Russian airstrike. 6/11/17, killed in Syrian artillery strike. 6/29/17, Iranian leader says he's definitely dead. 7/11/17, Syrian Observatory for Human Rights confirmed his death, which I think is just a group out of England. It's a one-man operation. So when, you know, they make these things seem bigger than they are. And then 10/26/19, which was over the weekend, killed again. I don't know what the truth is. I can tell you I don't really trust the government at all, and I think they faked the bin Laden death. I think bin Laden was dead. Madeleine Albright said he was on ice. They said they had killed him many times. They said he had a dialysis machine. And then they said they buried him at sea, and they showed fake photos online. So I don't know. We'll know, but I'll give you my thoughts about that just on the other side of this break.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Back to the final segment of the first hour of the War Room. I'll be here with you for 2 more hours, it seems like, unless Owen Schroeder does reappear. This is when I thought I would be coming in right at 4 o'clock, but I got called in early, so I didn't even get to fix my beautiful hair. All right. Let's go to this. I have the Epoch Times, and I have homeless being tracked with microchips. I have a UN taxpayer-funded video, or the UN invading a taxpayer-funded venue in Salt Lake City and saying it's international territory. But what I want to get to first is Susan Rice. Here's a clip of her. We were just talking about the death of al-Baghdadi and how it's been reported that he's been dead. Now I'm going to tell you why I think they probably actually really killed Baghdadi. Here is Susan Rice, though, telling us how Trump should have informed Obama about it. I mean, it's ridiculous. Here it is.
What is your reaction to the death of al-Baghdadi?
Well, obviously, it's a major milestone, and it's one that we all should be welcoming, quite plainly. But it doesn't mean that the fight against ISIS is over, and it doesn't mean that we can declare mission accomplished and just walk away. What we've seen time and time again in this part of the world is that when the pressure is relieved on terrorist organizations, whether al-Qaeda or ISIS, they are able to reconstitute. So we need to be vigilant. We need to maintain
a minimal presence in order to
ensure that the pressure stays on ISIS and they don't come back roaring.
It is pouring rain out there. Right behind
you. I was standing in the pouring rain just a second ago, yes.
Well, I appreciate your bravery through that, coming out on the roof of Jones Day here in Washington, bringing you face the nation. But back to the issue at hand, was President Obama informed of the death of al-Baghdadi by the administration?
Well, he's not president. Why would we inform him?
Tell me. There's no reason why I should know. There is a tradition of common courtesy of presidents informing their predecessors of things of significance.
Pause it for 1 second. Is there also a tradition of preceding presidents not wiretapping their winners? Is that a tradition? Maybe so. Let's go back to Susan Beans and Rice.
Didn't feel it necessary to inform the leadership of the intelligence committees on a bipartisan basis. I'm quite confident that they didn't do the normal protocol with respect to predecessors either.
And during the Obama administration, when, say, Osama bin Laden was taken off the battlefield.
As a matter of courtesy.
Well, did they go back, they informed Bush? And did they, well, actually, Cheney was the president, the real president. Did they inform Cheney? Did they let everybody know that, hey, we're going to go get Osama bin Laden? And Trump said it best. The reason he didn't tell anybody is because he didn't want any leaks. He's sick of the leaks. And people are bitching, well, why isn't he putting these phone calls on the regular server? Because he's sick of the leaks. You people are disgusting. And all you do is leak, 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 which... This brings me to why I think they actually got Baghdadi. It's because if they didn't, I think it would have come out that he really didn't get him. Somebody would have said, no, here's the fake leak. Here's the fake photo. You know, they said he supposedly blew himself up. Well, how'd he get the DNA sample? Well, he was a prisoner before. And I think he was one of the guys. Guys, check on that. He might have been when they, Bo Bergdahl? Who was the guy who deserted, and then they traded, I don't know, it might not have been Bo Bergdahl, but they traded 5 ISIS prisoners for this one American, and they released the ISIS guys, and then they got, the American came. It was either Bo Bergdahl or somebody else, John something, but I think it was Bo Bergdahl. I think John was an ISIS fighter. If somebody could look that up real quick. You know, that was all the way back in the Obama administration. So, yeah, what's that? You heard it? You found it? Okay. So, anyway, that'll be interesting to see. I think that Baghdadi was one of the guys that they released. And then all of a sudden, you saw ISIS driving around in brand new Toyota Land Cruiser pickups mounted with 50 caliber machine guns. They had missiles that they got from Libya that were kept in a CIA storage locker that all suddenly got broken into the night that the ambassador got killed. Bo Bergdahl was traded. Okay, 5 Taliban commanders. So I don't know if they released their names, but that guy looks like it might have been al-Baghdadi, the guy at the top right. or is it top left? Is it top right? It looks like, yeah. It is top left. Okay, yeah, because he's got the whiter beard. But there you go. So, we have Owen Schroyer on the line. Let's bring him up, but I'll just finish this thought real quick. So, Susan Rice is there bitching that Trump didn't inform Obama that he was going to kill the guy that he released for a deserter. So here we go now to Owen Schroyer live on the scene in Austin, Texas. Owen, can you hear me? What are you learning?
I've learned that climate deniers have got to go, Rob. As soon as I showed up, it started this genius chant. Hey, hey, ho, ho, climate deniers have got to go. But I doubt there's any climate deniers here. That's the irony.
I don't believe in climate.
Yeah, I don't believe in climate, even though there's
science is real
right here that we're in. But
there's
yeah.
4,000 genders.
Oh, hold on. The high energy chant has just stopped. So anyway, Rob, we're out here at UT where they're hosting a lecturer, Alex Epstein, that doesn't believe in man-made climate change.
Wait, we got another Epstein? We got Robert Epstein. We got Jeffrey Epstein. Now we have Alex Epstein?
Yes, that's right. And so we're out here. We want to talk to some of these students out here, what they think about the guest speaker. Hopefully we can get in and maybe capture some of that too. But as you can see, the climate alarmists are out here today, and they want us to know that that man-made climate change, I guess, is the biggest issue that we're facing right now. So let's see if we can't get a look at some of these signs.
Oh, yeah. And, let me see. These are my favorite.
So time's up. Your sign says time's up here. So how much longer does planet Earth have?
Well, right now we are in a critical state, and I think that everyone,
10 years.
The scientists have been telling us for a really long time, since the 80s, that we need to make a change, and we've been sort of putting it off for a really long time, and I think right now we're at a point where we really need to think about where we're headed and make the changes that we need to do.
What type of changes are you making?
Okay, I have to go, but cheers.
So,
did you see how the handler walked up?
Yeah, the cult leader just made sure he wouldn't talk.
It was a professional
handler. Can I see your guys' sign here? Let's get a look at this sign here. Climate action now. So what type of climate action are you looking for?
We're looking for investments in green infrastructure, stuff that's going to help us going forward. I think that we should make a plan to get to 100% renewable by 2050.
Do you have any case studies of examples of companies invested in for renewable that would be a good case study to point to and say that's what we should do?
Sure, Solar City, and not just renewable companies, big companies like ExxonMobil.
No, but I mean like examples of like people investing in these companies like Solyndra. Have you heard of Solyndra?
I have, but would you like to tell me?
Yeah, so Solyndra was a green energy company. A bunch of government money was outsourced to that company. They ended up going bankrupt. So most of the instances I've seen, these renewable energy companies go bankrupt. But you're saying there's examples of this not, where they stay in business?
For example, in 2010, the federal government gave a big loan to Tesla so that they could get off the ground and compete with other existing car companies. And Tesla paid back that loan 5 years later. You know, sometimes it's hard for renewable energy companies to get off the ground because they're competing against big multinational corporations that have been around for 100 years and have, you know, government subsidies and oil subsidies and all that stuff. So I think that both the government and private investors can play a role in getting the ball down the hill.
Now, are you one of the people that believes the Earth could end in 12 years if we don't act now?
Well, I'm one of the people that believes Sandy Hook was a hoax.
I asked him a question. If you'd like to, I'll talk to you too. Actually, that's not true. That's inaccurate too. Alex Jones has made multiple statements saying Sandy Hook did happen. But anyway, are you one of the believers that the world will end in 12 years if we don't address it now?
I think you're misrepresenting. The fact is that if we don't make dramatic action to fight climate change, we're going to be looking at a situation that's going to help, that's going to hurt poor people across the world and hurt us here at home. Right now, actually,
yeah, we'll go in with this. Yeah, yeah. All right, we're going to go in here, Rob.
Ask him about Obama's house.
So we'll get to that. I know that we're about to go to a break here, Rob. So let's go to this break. Take us to break, and sure, we'll go inside here and see if we can't sit in on this lecture and hear from Alex Epstein.
Well, I'd like to say this. Just talking to that man, young gentleman there, he obviously believes in what he's saying. And, you know, I think there is room for some of these renewables. I think getting off the grid is important for a lot of people, because what are we seeing in California right now? People that bought into the solar panel system but had it hooked up to the grid are still losing their power because they didn't have a battery backup system. So there are instances where this could work. And you look at PG&E. They basically have taken the entire state of California hostage and are causing massive blackouts across the state. What are we doing about that? We'll be right back after this with Owen Schroyer live on the scene at the Climate Deniers Conference.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, we are back live. The article. Pull that article up real quick, because we were just talking about the solar panels and how they're unreliable because they're not hooked up to the grid. Thank you for joining us here at the War Room, start of the second hour. Owen Schroyer's on site at a, I guess I called it a climate deniers conference. I don't know what it is. I think it's a cult. of people who think that human beings are bad and carbon dioxide is bad for the earth. But let's go to that. Show me that Natural News article so I could read the headline. Right there, reality check, when power grid goes down, all grid-tied solar systems will go down with it. So most people, when they get their solar panels, they come down and then they go right to the grid. Say this is the grid and it goes off and powers things. And you get cheap electric bills from that. That is true. But what doesn't happen if you don't have a tie-over system, it doesn't go back and power your house. It just goes out into the grid. And if the grid shut down, well, it just dies somewhere or wherever it goes. I don't know. But if you have a system that'll click over when the power goes down, it'll then go into a battery system. And then at night, you will have power. During the day, it's charged by the solar panels. But then at night, it's you have power from the battery system. But that could also go down as well. But if you don't have a strong enough battery system, it takes a lot of batteries to make this go. I think Tesla does have a system that they do sell people. And there are probably some people that have that. But a lot of people were sold the bill of goods that, hey, you got solar. When the power grid goes down, you're going to have power. And that's not what happened. So let's go back to Owen Schroyer now and find out if he made it inside or if they kicked him out. Go ahead, Owen. Oh, look like he's inside.
Yeah, we're standing outside the auditorium here, Rob, where there are a couple protesters here holding signs. Here's one: climate crisis, Exxon new, make them pay. Are you aware that the gas companies have actually been to court before? They've been sued for climate change, and the judges have granted that there's no scientific evidence they're responsible. What do you think about that?
I'm just not going to talk to you. You're not legitimate.
Okay, so that's how a typical cult member would disengage from a real question, as you can see. But let's see if anyone else can answer a simple question. Excuse me, ma'am.
No, thank you.
No, thank you from her. So they come out here and they hold a sign because they're really confident in their arguments, but then when a microphone is held to their face, they shell up. So it is interesting.
A really condescending attitude and respect to have a good conversation with people.
Excuse
but why
me, I just asked them a question.
To you like that?
No, I asked them a simple question. No, they didn't want to talk.
She sounded very condescending.
You're not civil. You have a condescending attitude.
She sounds a little condescending.
The best way to protest in tours is to literally don't talk to them.
Don't talk to them. Okay.
Do you believe in free speech?
Thank you. So,
do you believe in free speech?
So the best way to protest in
tours. Yeah. So they don't believe in free speech. And they think that man-made climate change is going to kill us all in 10 years. I'm wondering what they're doing in college then, you know? I mean, because the world's going to end in 10 years. Why get a degree? Seems pretty pointless, doesn't it?
Why are they worried about all that debt they're accumulating?
Yeah, yeah. Here, tell me, what are you doing out here?
I don't want to give an interview. I have lots of information here if you actually want to know.
No, come on. Tell me the information.
Okay. All right.
No, nothing. Here, let's see if this individual. So what brings you out here today, sir?
I'm too well aware of the way that you capture information and then distort the news.
I'm literally live right now.
To miss. You're saying a lot of things about climate change that don't fit me. And
like what? Name something.
I don't think the world's ending in 10 years.
Don't talk to
okay. Me. So, but because of the way you operate, we don't want to talk to you.
What does that mean? This is live right now. I can't distort or edit this. This is literally live. You can say anything you want.
Live for another minute.
So far we're 0 for 10 out here, Rob. Nobody seems to be able to tell me about why climate change is going to end the planet. So I can keep asking people, but they keep saying they don't want to talk to me, Rob. They don't want to talk to anyone. They want to hold up a sign and feel good about themselves. And you
ask
see, this
if
is
anyone
kind
knows what plants
what
breathe.
Become.
Does anyone know what plants breathe?
Yes, that's true. We probably should kill all plants because they emit carbon, right?
Well, no, they actually eat the carbon and put out oxygen.
Should we destroy all trees for all the carbon they emit?
Hi, Dad.
Do you think we should kill the trees for all the carbon? Okay, but seriously, you're out here for climate change. You think it's like a world-ending issue. It says existential issue. That's why you guys are out here protesting. So if it's such an existential threat, tell me about it. Why? Why should I be afraid?
You don't have Google?
What?
You not have Google? Can you not, like, research this on your own?
Is Google your daddy? So apparently Google's her daddy. What's up, sir?
What's your name?
I'm Owen Schroyer. How are you?
Owen. What's your name? Dylan.
All right. Dylan, do you want to tell me about how climate change is killing us?
We have strong disagreement.
All right, what was your name?
Dylan.
Dylan, all right. Dylan, UT student. Here we go. Hello, guys. We are back at UT where Alex Epstein is going to deliver a lecture. It says, founder and president of the Center for Industrial Progress, author of The Moral Case for Fossil Fuels. And so protesters are out here today because they think fossil fuels are leading to climate change. It's going to kill us all. So one UT student, Dylan, is actually willing to speak with me. So we appreciate that. So, Dylan, what brings you out here today?
Well,
I'm not part of XR or part of the group organizing this, but I'm just a student who saw this, agree with it, and decided to come along and see what they're doing. Right?
Now, which side of the aisle? Are you on Epstein's aisle that think fossil fuels are okay, or are you with the protesters out here that want to stop fossil fuels?
I'm definitely with the protesters.
Okay.
Yes.
And so what do you think fossil fuels are doing that to the climate that's irreversible?
So per all the agreed science, per the latest IPCC reports, per basically everything we understand about how the planetary system works in terms of the climate, in terms of carbon cycles, okay, we understand that roughly within the next... Now, in the media, you hear 12 years, right? Okay, but roughly, let's say within the next 30 years or so, we will probably see about a degree of warming, right, from where we are right now. Where are we right now? We are at 1 degree Celsius, okay? 1 full degree of warming is around maybe 2 Celsius, right? And then obviously a degree above that is 3. Okay, so you said you don't understand why climate change is a problem, right? Or why any of this is necessary. Okay, right now we're at 1 degree. What happens at, what happens at 2? What happens at 3? Okay, by 2, industrial food production already begins to slow down and be affected. By 3, we can't even, well, I don't have the statistics memorized, but industrial food production is severely affected not only by disasters like hurricanes, but also just increased land temperatures, right? Because 3 degrees
but
means,
now hold on a second. Hold on,
3 degrees means across the globe, right? But on land, 3 degrees net, as well as 2, means far more than just that small amount, right? Because that's across the entire globe. That's on the ocean.
Okay, but here's the thing about that. That's because of that temperature happens. Hold on a second. That temperature increase happens in major metropolitan cities that are concrete jungles where you don't have the earth to absorb all the heat. Now, hold on, though. When you're talking about infecting industrial food production, if you actually look at California, they cut water to try to reverse some of this climate change stuff to the industrial farmers. So that's already happening.
Okay. Industrial, like, heat islands, right? I understand what you're saying. That's a problem. Cities are going to be horribly affected in terms of just the temperature. But I'm not talking just the temperature. I'm talking about how the IPCC defines this increase, right? Which is across the entire globe.
Now, are you familiar with the Vostok ice samples?
Average, no, but average across the entire globe, right?
Now, hold on.
Net increase.
So let me explain, though.
Single cities don't matter.
You're going off data that's less than 300 years old. The Vostok ice core samples go back thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, and it actually show that carbon in the environment is actually relatively low right now. These are ice samples.
I know. Assuming this is going to be aired, for anyone who doesn't...
This is live right now.
This is live. For anyone who doesn't already know, our temperature right now is not the highest it's ever been. It's relatively low, right? Maybe in the Eocene, I think, maybe about 50 million years ago, okay, the temperature was significantly higher, okay? Levels of global temperature, right, and carbon dioxide have fluctuated greatly in our history, right? The problem is obviously the rate at which this is occurring in this short period of time. The argument is never, oh, it's the hottest right now ever, or oh, it's the most carbon right now ever. Either side who says that...
So that's fair. I would say that's fair. So what's your solution?
Part of the solution is pushing towards a shift in energy infrastructures, right? Like part of what this protest group is...
But don't you think the United States already does that? I mean, we put out pretty low CO2, and the hole in the ozone has actually decreased to record lows.
What happened with the ozone was because there was a global effort, right, to curtail emissions.
That's what I'm saying. So why aren't we celebrating this? Why are we sitting here acting like it's getting worse?
We do celebrate the decrease of the ozone layer, but that's a separate issue, right? We can learn from that to determine how we're going to lower carbon dioxide, but chlorofluorocarbons are something else. What was the other question you asked?
All right, so final question for you. We'll see if anyone else wants to talk. Otherwise, we might just have to come back to you. Do you believe what the Democrats saying that we have 10 years or 12 years to act or it's too late?
That Democratic talking point came from the most recent IPCC report, which everyone should go read, Special Report 1.5 degrees Celsius, right? And in there, it roughly said 12 years to decrease total emissions by 50%, okay? That talking point, for that to be construed as, oh, the world's going to end in 12 years, that's not what the report said, and that's not what any of the science says, okay? And I doubt that's even what Democrats are saying.
No, they literally say that.
Some of them, they don't know the science. The real situation is we roughly have so 2050 or 2045 to completely decrease our global carbon emissions to zero.
And if that's like the Bill Gates formula?
I don't know what Bill Gates says. This is what the IPCC report, the SR 1.5 says.
So let's say that that's a real issue. Don't you think we should address China and India first?
You mean from the perspective of U.S. foreign policy?
Like, well, I'm saying if climate change is the problem, man-made climate change, China and India produce more CO2 and pollution than 10 United States combined.
That's not true, but I get the spirit of your question.
No, it is true. And actually, they found out that the CO2 produced in China actually adds to the forestation because plants need CO2.
Okay. But what is the point of saying addressing India and China? What is that?
Let's say you're floating in a boat, okay, and you've got a tiny hole like that, and you're focusing on that little hole instead of the gigantic holes that are over there. Do you think you're going to solve anything?
So,
no, your boat's going to sink.
This analogy is supposed to be the U.S. is the boat. And then we're trying to fix...
No, I'm saying for people to sit here and act like the United States is responsible for man-made climate change is really just ignorant.
No one is acting like the United States alone is responsible for climate change.
Well, you say we need to do this. What does the United States need to do to stop it?
And you, come on, you would clearly agree. The United States is the global hegemon in terms of foreign policy. We have massive, massive economic power. I mean, we basically run NATO. I mean...
So then we should shut down. So should we shut down all the production in China?
I don't understand the question.
Well, what is causing global warming? What is causing the extinction of humanity thanks to the climate change? What is causing that?
I mean, the extinction of humanity won't just be because. Oh my God, English. Won't just be because of global warming, right? It's going to be land use. It's going to be fisheries.
There's plenty of land out there.
That's true, but land use, decreasing biodiversity. Basically, all of the myriad of things that can be labeled under the single
thing. So just general human progress, then. Like, you used to be able to drive a car in this country maybe 15 miles a gallon. That car gets like 30 now.
I don't understand how that's relevant.
Well, because this is the United States decreasing our pollution, decreasing our CO2 levels. The United States is going in the right direction. China and India are not. So I'm saying... your focus on what we're doing in the West, meanwhile China is doing the most CO2 production, which, by the way, again, adds to the forestation. So I think this issue is actually just being conflated by a bunch of people that want you to pay a carbon tax, like Al Gore, who said in his last documentary that all the glaciers would be melted by 2010. None of that happened.
It's a common thing for climate deniers to, like, talk about Al Gore.
No, I'm not a climate denier at all. There's definitely climate, for sure.
Sure. Anthropogenic climate change deniers, and
yes.
What should be done about that climate change deniers?
Which, I think if there's any climate change, the humans are responsible for 0.001% of it.
Okay, if you have a bathtub, okay, and you turn on the sink just a little bit, right? Just a little bit of falling out of the bathtub, okay? Over time, that rate is what matters, right? It doesn't matter the like total amount.
But again, let's go back to my analogy. Volcanoes put out more drops into the bathtub than humans.
No, they don't. Not currently. No,
they yeah,
don't.
They do.
No, they just do not. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead and pull it up for this guy. Guys, pull it up.
Let me finish the analogy. You have a bathtub, right? You keep increasing the rate which water comes in. Eventually, the bathtub will overflow. Okay. That's our situation right now. No one's saying that there isn't a baseline amount of like what's going on in the carbon cycles or whatever. Of course. Okay. And there's definitely.
Okay, but making an analogy to a bathtub is not science.
Okay. To communicate basic ideas, to communicate something intuitively about extremely complex concepts. Like,
hold on, I took your analogy and I'm saying, if you're saying humans are drip into the bathtub, volcanoes are a splash. The sun is literally a hose.
The bathtub is CO2 in the air, right? That's the water.
Right.
We're just taking an analogy that doesn't
really... Volcanoes put out more CO2.
The sun puts out more CO2?
Yeah, the sun is responsible for everything. So that's the funny thing, too, is that we think we're more powerful than the sun is kind of a joke.
Solar flares? Okay. What?
23 seconds.
I'm sure that I'm you know what? Hey, thank you so much, Dylan. That was a whole segment from Dylan. I appreciate that. I'm sure that humans are more responsible for the climate than the sun. I'm sure. Because, you know, the sun isn't a billion degrees.
All right, we'll be right back after this. That was quite entertaining.
Infowars.com/show.
Hey, just doing a little fact checking here during the break. It looks like volcanoes release around 645 million tons of CO2 per year. That's every year, of course. And they have links to all this. And then they say, This is a Forbes article. Humanity does 29 billion tons per year, and they offer no link. There's no link to that. They have a graph that shows it, but it looks like the hockey stick graph that we know is fake. And I know our director out there's putting together an interview that we shot over 10 years ago with Tim Ball, a climatologist of over 30 years. Let's say this, all this climate change stuff is bunk. It's doing nothing. It's only being done to control humanity and their activities because the elites want to live like kings while the rest of us live like dogs. So let's go back to Owen Schroyer live on the scene. Go ahead, Owen.
Yes, my friend Caitlin here, who disagrees with us a lot, but I give her credit. She comes on air and is willing to speak, so we appreciate her for that. Now, she's got a graph here. She wants to explain kind of what I was talking about and what you were just talking about here. It's a NOAA. I guess this is their most recent release of the carbon cycle. So go ahead and make your point here.
Oh, I'm just making the point. Owen mentioned that, you know, CO2 is important for our environment. I mean, it's something that our plants, also give off, and it's a part of our carbon cycle. And he's completely right. Our CO2 is necessary for a healthy environment. However, if the problem is the accumulation of that CO2, especially in small periods of time, where we can project them at a future, like kind of statistical models can show us how it's going to affect us in the future. So this model that I have here, it's a part of our the things that we use at UT Austin to learn about climate change. And here you can see the residence time in mass accumulation. You can calculate that based off of the amount of CO2. And this is, as you mentioned, from NOAA, which is a scientific source. So it's something that we can actually use to compare and see how fossil fuels, in this case, do actually alter our carbon accumulation.
So I have to ask, so do you trust the NOAA to give you accurate data?
Yeah, I do believe in the scientific sources, resources, because the great thing about the IPCC, the great thing about the NOAA, is that they have multiple scientists from all across the globe who have to go through peer review. And this peer review thing takes years sometimes to get through. So I do believe in the information that they give us. And I think that it's important to use people and cite people that have that peer review aspect of the scientific method.
So where do you fall then when it comes to man-made climate change?
What do you mean?
Like, do you think it's a drastic issue? Do you think it's an issue way down the line, or is it something that needs to be addressed now? Do you think there are lies about climate change out there?
Yeah, so the IPCC just sent out a report, which is very important. I hope everybody has a chance to look at it. And that IPCC, we talk about I have actually a model I could look up if you had time to look at that, but it shows us the statistical data that we have to look at how that would change in the future and how it could possibly affect us. Right now, we're projected to have around 450 ppm of CO2 that if we don't change our current emission status. And we are also have...
Now, hold on. When you say our, who's our?
Any type of climate scientist.
Okay, so you're talking about humans.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so do these models fraction off, you know, how much, say, the United States is responsible for versus China?
No. I actually differ a little bit from the other gentleman who was speaking. In my class, my sustainability course, we learn about three different aspects.
What's the name of that class?
It's called Sustaining a Planet. It's a UGS course. In this course, we learn about the different aspects of sustainability and why it's so hard to maintain. And one of those problems is looking at areas like you mentioned, like China and India. And as you said, they do have high emissions. They, even if, for example, I know like the Paris Accord, I know why Trump got out of that was because he didn't feel like United States, you know, we could be the best people that we could ever be. But, you know, if India and China don't get onto that, it's also going to be a problem. However, at the same time, I believe that, you know, the United States, we are the leaders. We always try to be the big brother kind of our nations. And I think that it's important that if we show, you know, a good stance, people sooner or later are going to follow us, especially with a lot of those companies from India and China being American companies.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Now, I'm going to throw one final wrench into this.
Yeah, okay.
Where does, if nuclear testing come into play here? Because we know thousands of nuclear tests have been done across the planet. Those are by governments, mostly the United States. I believe China is number two. Do the models take that into account, like nuclear radiation poisoning, like Fukushima poisoning the ocean? Where does that come into these models, does it?
Yeah, there are a couple of things that are being studied by that. Unfortunately, I'm not far enough into my course. I know that that's in it.
She's got more studying to do.
I do. But I think that's fair to say. I mean, I would rather say I don't know at this point than lie.
Well, I appreciate talking to you. I know we don't agree on everything, but you're research and you're willing to talk. And Savannah, she's waiting to hear back on email. She wants to give you a tour of the facility, right?
Yes, come visit me at Hidalgo. We have our facility for people who have been taken across, well, people who have crossed the borders. Come talk to me. I would love to get you an opportunity to go see the people who are actually there.
So there you go. She's offering a tour at InfoWars. So we appreciate you for that. Thank you so much. All right. So there you go. So it's nice to actually talk to someone out here. Hey, maybe we don't disagree, but she's got her research. She's got her opinions. And I think she voiced them eloquently here. So good for her. Now, this was our old sign, and they had it stationed behind us, and then someone said that they shouldn't. So I'm just curious. So what are you doing out here?
I'm not giving into stupidity.
What does that mean? You think I'm stupid?
I think...
That's kind of culty. Why can't... I'll tell you what. Do you like baseball? Football? Do you like football? What about food? What's your favorite food? Can we talk about food, maybe? I like pizza. I had a lot of pizza over this weekend. You like pizza? I eat pizza. It's carbon friendly pizza. Okay, he's not allowed to talk. How much time do we have?
1 minute.
All right, let's see. Hey, how are you doing? Are you a baseball fan? Who do you think is going to win, the Astros or the Nationals? Oh, okay. Now they want us to see their sign. All right, here. What does your sign mean? What's your sign stand for? What do you stand for? All right, so I can't assign. Hold on. Let's see. Maybe the sign can speak. Sign? What do you think, sign? Tell me more, sign. Okay, guys, we're yet to hear from the sign. Live on the scene. Hold on, let's give it one more chance. Sign, what do you stand for? I'm not hearing it, guys.
Boom, boom.
All right, we'll try again next segment.
Yeah, it's tough when the cult leaders have been programmed their culties to not talk and not engage in debate. It is hard to get anything in. Yeah, I was impressed that you got two people to talk to you. It's funny, though. They both are referring to the studies and the things they've learned. This is part of the cult programming that humans are bad, humans need to go.
I want to make sure, was it the NOAA? Who was it that was fudging their temperature numbers?
It was NOAA. Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
So I thought that I wanted to make sure before I said that on air. So let's come back with that, Rob, and talk about that. We'll stay out here live, and we'll see if we can't get some comments here.
There's polar bear numbers are exploding. The forests are growing, and it's all happening because there's more carbon. We're actually carbon starved right now, but you can't find UT professors to say that because they have an agenda. So we'll be right back. You're watching the War Room.
Infowars.com/show.
We are in a war for America. This is the War Room.
So, of course, that last student that Owen was interviewing at the Climatard convention, or the Climatard protest, I guess they're going in to protest a speaker who's talking about fossil fuels and why they're important. Let me tell you something. Whatever side of the fence you are on, fossil fuels are what create cheap and abundant electricity. And if you don't have cheap and abundant electricity, you don't have the life that you know it right now. Now, you kids with your smartphones and with your air conditioning and with everything else that you think you need, if you didn't have fossil fuels, you would not have those things because there is not enough power coming from solar panels that could produce the type of industry you need to create those types of devices and power those types of gadgets. So that's one thing. Two, let's go to, here's Investor Business Daily, the stunning statistical fraud behind the global warming scare. NOAA may have a boring name. It has an important job. It measures U.S. temperatures. Unfortunately, it seems to be captive of the global warming religion and its data is fraudulent. We have interviewed climate scientists, mathematicians, people who look at this information on a daily basis. And what's going on is there is a race to control humans. And there's a race to control what we do and how we do it. And if you can get everybody under the guise of saving the planet to give up their way of life, then you can control everything. And so what has been going on since the 70s? And basically, these people are anti-human. They don't like humans. David Suzuki, I think we played a clip of Suzuki's daughter, who was like the Greta Thunberg of her day in the 90s, getting up there talking about how humans are killing the planet. These people tell you humans are killing the planet and we shouldn't have children, yet they have 5-6 kids like Ted Turner or Suzuki. Because they know what they're pushing is BS. And they know if they can push this agenda and they can be the leaders of it, they don't have to follow the rules. Kind of like what you see in government today. People working for the FBI don't follow the rules that they arrest you for and put you in jail for if they break. See, they get to lie. But if you lie to the FBI, you go to jail. See how it works? You forgot about an email that was sent to you. Out of the 6 million emails you put in, they find one email that says, nope, you lied. And they're going to bring you and make you pay millions of dollars in lawyer fees to clear your name. That's what the FBI does. They get caught wiretapping the president and faking forms. Nothing happens. But we'll see. We'll see. Remember, the bulldog's got to eat. It takes him 2 weeks. So don't forget about that two-week bulldog. I want to go to Ryan here, who's been working with us, and he has been editing an interview that I shot over 10 years ago. And this was climatologist Tim Ball, who was sued by Michael Mann for him saying the hockey stick. Tim Ball said the hockey stick theory was fraudulent, and that was something Michael Mann came up with. And he sued him, and Michael Mann lost. You can go look that up. It's common knowledge. And so we shot this interview. Part of it was in Fall of the Republic, which was the Obama deception part two. And we used parts of it there. And Tim Ball's a guy who's been studying the climate for 30 years. Before that, he was a radar technician in the Army chasing nuclear submarines. And so Ryan has been looking at and compiling this information together, because we're going to put out the full interview. Because, you know, 10 years later, we were 10 years ago today. So, Ryan, what are your impressions of listening to Tim Ball and the things he's saying?
Well, Tim Ball says that climate change is happening, but it is a natural phenomenon. And we do have an effect, but there's a lot of other factors that people who are, you know, Greenpeace, people like that, aren't taking into consideration, because they do not even have access to the information, because they're not climatologists and they haven't read everything. That's basically what he's talking about. And yes, there are government programs that want to tax us for carbon that is totally happening naturally. And he says that carbon is also kind of a misnomer. Like, it's a lot more than carbon. It used to be aerosols and, you know, the ozone. Then it was global warming. Now it's climate change. And we are carbon-based life forms. Carbon really has nothing to do with it. It's just become a buzzword. There's a lot more to the climate than just carbon. That's what he was talking about.
And here's what it is.
Global warming denier, but what he had to say was... He's pretty clairvoyant.
Yeah, and it's backed by science and him actually studying it, not taking a class and listening to a teacher who is being fed talking points from groups who want to control humans. Because at the end of the day, you know what we exhale? We exhale carbon. And that's what it's all about. It's controlling humans. Because if you can control humans, you can control the world.
Yeah, and he talks about that, how, you know, there's special, I forget the name of it, the term of it was special service committees. Using that to delay progress in order to put out propaganda that controls humans. As a climatologist, he's really well informed. He's seen a lot in his life, and he, you know, that's where he's at.
And he just won in a court of law. So we're going to be putting that out soon, probably in the next. I know it's among the many things you do here. Ryan is also going through my 10-year-old footage trying to put this stuff out, because this was information that used to be out on the web, and it was taken away. All the Lord Monckton interviews. I've interviewed him hundreds of times about climate change and the falsity of it, and how these guys really don't want to debate. When he challenges people to a debate, they run the other direction, because their stuff is not based on science. It's based on propaganda, and it's based on cherry picking and computer models. And if I feed the computer model information that's going to make the temperature rise, well, it's going to show the temperature's rising. But you can't put every little integer and exponent of an example and data point, you can't put all those into a computer model. That's why you have computer models, because they can show you approximations of things. But when you fudge the data and you put in bad data and you get bad results out of it, then you're going to go run around and say these things. But it's not about our best interests. It's about controlling humans, controlling what we do. And like it or not, you need fossil fuels to have cheap electricity. And if you're going to give up your smartphone and your air conditioning and your car and your modes of transportation, and you're going to go live like a hermit out in the woods, well, then you have room to talk. But none of those kids are doing that. I guarantee you, they're all going home to air-conditioned dorms. They're all eating processed food. That's another thing. They say processed food. If global warming does happen, guess what? Places up in Canada are going to have nice, rich soil that nobody's been farming. You can start farming in there longer. South, you go further south, you can start farming there more. There's plenty of things that we could do, and we have the technology to make cleaner energy, to do all these things. And it just, when it's stifled and stymied by those who want to control us, you're not going to get good results. So when we come back, I'm going to go over the finalists that we have for giving away the OK hat. But I want to tell you, before we go to break, right now, we have the Everything Must Go emergency sale. Thank you, Ryan, for jumping in. 40 to 70% off dozens of products. All right? We're blowing this stuff out because we want to be here next year. So we're getting rid of everything, all of our inventory, so we can have those funds to go into next year strong. It's going to be a big election year. But we've sold out of things like Vitamin Mineral Fusion and Pollen Block, which a lot of people love Pollen Block. I get so many people. What's amazing is the people that call in want to talk about our products. The people that see me out in the streets want to talk about our products. But we still have things that are 40 to 70% off, like Survival Shield X2, 360 Immune Defense Combo, Silver Bullet, 71% off, Gut Fusion, Survival Shield X3, Vaso Beats, Ultimate Fish and Krill Oils. It's all there. Check it out, InfoWarsStore.com. And tons of things are 50% off, and it's free shipping and double Patriot points. Double Patriot points. Get in there now. Spun the InfoWar.
We have strong...
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my...
All right, I'm doing some last minute looking and compiling here of...
And I'll keep this world.
I got to look at the time on one before I can make a full decision. But I want to show you guys. I just put out a quick contest on my Twitter to win a free hat. Come up with a 1 minute ad for a commercial. So I want to see what other people had out there. I've got some ideas. I want to show you the first one. This is Anthony, and his Twitter handle is TLRT935. This can be tweeted however would work best, but anything Fentanyl the Dragon is hilarious and would definitely push sales. Made my account for this hat. Hopefully the idea comes to fruition. So that's what he tweeted out. So there's Fentanyl. Wait, show the video, guys. Put that back up there on screen behind me. OK, camera three. There we go. Yeah, I think it's going to repeat itself. So there we have, that came out October 25th. I think that's a photo I put out when I was closing the race. But keep playing it. Keep playing. It's going to show fentanyl. Now you can pause it. Now come to me on three. There we go. Look at that. That's how it works. There's fentanyl. Our good buddy Fentanyl the Dragon, Chi-Com asset, mouthpiece, telling you it's not okay to say okay. So, and if you don't win, be sure you pick up your hat and wear it. I will remind all this weekend. I'm breaking it in. All right, and let's go to Silent But Violent at top this username, who had an idea of taking Greta Thunberg, I guess when you put it out, how dare you? So what did McBreen give us for this? He put these together. How dare you in Greta's voice? Do we actually have the voice?
Dare you.
How dare you? There's a funny meme where some guy's going to put gas in his car and he opens up the lid and Greta's right there saying, how dare you? And he closes it up and runs. And so here is the third. And this is Soul Memes 1. Soul Memes is a really good meme maker. She's very talented. And she said, I'll say it how I imagine her voice would be. Just make a montage of all the liberals doing the okay sign with the hat on. So what did McBreen show us for this? Oh, that's Elijah Cummings. He's got the hat on. And he's doing the okay sign. Oh, there he is. So I imagine, yeah, there's all, I think I show Obama making the okay sign, LeBron James making it, Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton, everybody's making the okay sign because it's okay. When I go scuba diving, I use this sign when I'm under the water to tell the dive guy that I'm with that everything's cool, bro. Let's go. Let's do the deep dive. Or if you have all your gear on and you test it out, they want you to say this because they don't want you to take your mouthpiece out and say, everything's cool. No, they want you to go, okay, and then you plop back in the water. And that's what that means, okay? So we're taking this sign back. The ADL says it's evil and racist. No, it's not. There's nothing white supremacist about the okay sign. It means that's a good soup. That's a great move. That was an awesome play. And this is a great hat. So do I announce the winner now? I do have to check one thing. Because there's another account that had the same meme, but he sent it at 11:07, and I got to see when Soul Memes sent theirs in. That was the one thing I didn't write. So I'm going to check that at the break and announce at the 5 minutes. Before we go any further, guys, let's get this clip ready because our guest next hour, this is the UN clip, the UN Utah clip. Let's play that real quick because I'm going to have the guest on who shot this video to talk about how the UN went into Salt Lake City into a government-owned facility, in a state-run, not state-run, but public facility that is paid for with taxpayer dollars and claimed it to be an international territory. And this, of course, is not being seen anywhere. This video was shot in August, but just released over the weekend. Let's go to that video now from Defense Utah.
Is it okay you turn off the camera, Dennis?
Oh, turn off the camera?
Yeah.
Do I not have a right to have the camera?
I'm not giving you permission to check my face, so...
Okay, are you a public servant?
I'm a United Nations Security Officer.
Okay.
Okay.
This is my city, and so I have a right to film.
This is United Nations compound?
United Nations compound?
Yes.
This is a compound?
Yeah. Since Sunday evening, we took over this compound. This is international territory. When you step outside, it's U.S. Here is international territory. This is UN compound.
It's a freaking UN compound, people. We got a UN compound in Salt Lake City. Wow. He believed that's happening in the United States. Well, guess what? It's been happening. You ever hear of the UN Biosphere Program? You can go to any of our major national parks, and there's little UN plaques, or there used to be. They're hidden now because people started exposing them. In fact, one man named Alex Jones exposed it in America Destroyed by Design. He went around to our national parks, and these were being claimed as UN biosphere zones. And what that is the UN will take control over it, but only control when they want to. We'll be paying for it, all the running of it. The UN just gets to go, we're going to squat here for a while. And so they have their biosphere zones. And then beyond the biosphere zones, guys, see if you can pull up the UN map. It's yellow, and then there's red. So the yellow is the UN biosphere zone, and then the red around it is where they don't want humans to taint the biosphere. All right? These guys are going to pull it up. It's amazing because that is what it's all about. And it's about putting humans in little compact cities like we were talking about earlier and restricting your carbon output and making you eat bugs. You see how it's all happening now? The quickening is happening. It's happening. That's not the map. It's got a lot of yellow and red. But that is, actually, pull that up though. Let's show that. And I'll find the one during the break. It's even crazier. Pull that up on number four. That's the World Heritage and Biosphere programs in the United States. So you can see they've got most of that's Arizona and California, and then up into Montana. See, that's Yellowstone up there, Montana and Wyoming. But they claim that they are going to run this. Whenever they want, whenever they decide to come in, they're just going to take over, and we're going to go, oh, yes. But you see how they did it in Salt Lake City? They go, hey, this is our UN compound now since Sunday evening. This is international territory. You need to turn your camera off and shut up, slave. And it was even weirder as that was in an African accent. So you had an African lady saying that she was running the show there. So we're going to have in the next hour the lady who shot that, Amy Brown. And I was giving her the wrong name. It's Defending Utah, at Defending Utah. And they have a YouTube Defending Utah radio and TV. So we're going to have Amy Brown and Brent McClintock, and we're going to talk about Utah for an hour or so. But also I'm going to read some of the excerpts from the finders that the FBI released, because that stuff is truly, truly phenomenal. And but we'll play, you know, from the article from the D.C. Clothesline, UN takes over Utah taxpayer-funded venue claims it's international territory. And I heard people in there going, what? What? Yeah, that's what goes on. The UN shows up. They suddenly claim they own your ass. So here from the Epoch Times, FBI releases information on finders, a secret group accused of child sexual abuse. Congressman Charlie Rose, not the same Charlie Rose who is the interviewer, had, according to a declassified document dated October 27, 1993, so he asked the Justice Department to investigate these people. In Florida, 1987, they arrested two men in Tallahassee, Florida. Police found the men with six children who were playing in a park while unkept and neglected. Two of the subjects with the children could not initially provide sufficient information as to their legal custody, so they were brought in. And basically, what they showed was that the finders was a group that went around and were kidnapping children, or at least that's what these documents, FBI documents, allege. So they found documents that show United States Customs Service claims to have a substantial amount of computer equipment and documents containing instructions for obtaining children for unspecified purposes, the FBI stated. The instructions allegedly included the impregnation of female members of the community and purchasing children, trading children, and kidnapping them. The agents tried to gain access to the evidence for use in investigating, as well as the Neutrality Act and the Mann Act. After several paragraphs of redacted material, the FBI disclosed that someone had alleged the finders were involved in a well-organized child abuse scheme and redacted in conjunction with the State Department and the FBI's Foreign Counterintelligence Section conspired to cover up those abuses. So the FBI was asked to investigate itself. So during the next hour, I'm going to read some of those, as well as interviewing our group from Defending Utah, members of that group who, citizen journalists, just uncovering that the fact that the UN can claim any building they want in America and claim it's international territory. Imagine if they went to the United States Capitol and did that. What would happen? Oh, the outrage. But not from the Democrats. They probably approve of that type of behavior. We'll be right back with the War Room. You're watching. Thanks.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
It's been a crazy day here on the War Room. I'm still going to announce the winner, don't worry, before the end of the show. I had to go run, and I was looking for this, a little tweet thread. FBI vault releases the Finders pedophile sex cult investigation documents. Why was this investigation deemed a CIA internal matter? Why was the FBI counterintel involved? Release does not answer these questions. However, it does raise them. And this is stuff we've been covering for a while. This is Epstein is probably implicated in this somewhere. So they released them October 25th at 1 p.m. Here is the summary written in 1987 from the government of District of Columbia Metropolitan Police Department. It is the writer's belief that the Finders organization is and has been utilized by the Central Intelligence Agency as a disinformation service spreading non-essential, non-critical information to various organizations throughout the United States and overseas. This group, to the most part, is made up of overeducated non-achievers who lack the inborn initiative to succeed on their own. Therefore, they fell in with a charismatic leader who gave them direction and self-importance. To the most part, this organization individually is harmless. However, when directed and monitored by a controlling factor, they are capable of destructive and illegal activities. As in any cult structure, the main drivers is for the group and individual values and ideology. I think I skipped something there. Therefore, when a member is asked to perform a certain task heretofore that may have been objectionable, he or she performs this mission for the good of the group. As to the abuse of the children, I do not think that child abuse was a planned tactic of the group, but as in any cross-section of society, sick and demented subjects belong to a cult as well, or they take over the cult. Maybe that's why I was with the CIA. Lastly, I do not feel the Finders have disbanded as reported by their leaders, but instead, as reported to their master plan, have disbanded to prevent further detection by law enforcement. Fade into the ashes, or into the clouds, or into the mist. Approximately 1523 hours to 1887, Detective Blank spoke with SA reference contact members. The Finders may have had agency guarded, but frankly, this response, he confirmed that redacted Isabel, now deceased, was an employee of the agency from 1950 to 1971. When asked if our investigation was treading on anyone's toes out there, replied, sort of. He acknowledged that they had someone working on the case since it first broke with the news media, but also stated that the agency is aware that during the period of 69 to 71, Blank traveled to Moscow, North Korea, North Vietnam, and then a bunch of redactions, stated he would contact Detective Blank on 1987 in February to arrange to come to his office for further discussion. Acknowledge that we are treading on their toes, that they have someone working on the case since February 5th when it broke. They apparently have vested interest in Blank and or the group. They have not contacted any of the investigating agencies while they have been working on the case. So, and then it lists countries they're traveling to. And these are just interviews and notes from the director. But here's a note of, it looks like a place with underground tunnels. The horrific story, the pictures, and that was the children with the goats that I read earlier. I just thumbed to that page. 7-foot tunnel extending into a triplex next door. Tunnel extended from the bathroom to the office, classroom one in front of the yard. Children describe entrance and exiting tunnels in the triplex yard. There were 39 by 41 area. It's really hard to read this, and I have bad eyes. A small plastic plate with three pentagrams hand-drawn on it. I mean, it just goes on and on. We'll post these. I definitely am sending these out all weekend. But basically, this was something that was brushed up under the rug by the CIA. Welcome back to the War Room. I know that was a little disjointed as I was trying to read this microscopic text and with my horrible mole man type eyes. I don't know if y'all found the article, but I have it here. This is from the Washington Times front page. CIA tied to cult accused of abuse. So the CIA were the ones that say, don't look here. And it makes you wonder when you look at FBI counterintel, working with Epstein, as Mueller was have reported to do, where they were finding people, compromising them, and then getting them to do the government's business. I've got the whole document. I'm going to read all this. I'm going to go through it all and see what my little brain can come up with. But I want to switch over to our guest, Amy Brown, and I hear she's got the Brown family with her. So residents of Utah going to, there they are. Thank you for joining us, guys. And going to the Salt Palace in Salt Lake City, a publicly funded building, taxpayer money, and just trying to film what's going on. Why is the UN here? Wanting to talk about our civil society. And of course, you have a guard stepping up with a very heavy African accent, probably not an American citizen, telling Amy, who's on the other side of that camera, we played that video before, we'll probably play it throughout one more time through this interview, that this was international territory and this was a compound taken over by the UN. Now, Amy, what was your first reaction when you heard that statement?
Well, she just spilled the beans, you know, I just let her keep talking. So, I mean, we do everything as a family. So when we were there, we had a specific message, which we don't necessarily agree with what the United Nations is doing. We didn't care to have them in our city in the first place. But certainly, you know, they didn't allow that. And our children are here. And the whole premise of the conference was that youth were there to make a youth charter and to offer their opinion. Did you feel like your opinion was accepted?
No. People actually were coming up to us as we were delivering our messages, and they were saying, you're indoctrinated, and they were coming up to our parents and saying, if you want to get this message out, you should do it yourself. You're using these kids.
Yeah.
And
did we make you do it?
No. We actually believe in this cause, and we want to get this message out. And I don't think that it's fair that the United Nations is listening to all these other youth, and then they disregard anyone who tries to offer a different opinion. Mm-hmm.
Well, that surely is amazing. So I imagine, I wasn't there. So I imagine you guys were saying that, you know, climate change is a myth or something to that effect, or, What were some of the things that you were trying to tell the United Nations were your ideas for the future? And did it? I am imagining it did not lead up to their ideas. Was it gender related that you had to agree that there were 4,000 genders? I mean, what were they? What was the United Nations trying to push on the children?
Yeah, well, actually, if you go to defendingutah.org, you can get a lot of these answers to your questionnaire. But one thing that we were handing out to all the participants, and they proved our point. One thing was that the UN has in place no actual protection for journalists, no due process, no appeal. Don't come to the UN and ask a lot of questions or you'll be thrown in the street. And that's a quote from a journalist named Matthew Lee, who had that experience happen to him. So we were just there as a voice of warning, letting people know, hey, do you know this is in exact opposition to principles of our Constitution? And you've got to make a choice. So we were just letting people have that information, and we found that was not a welcome opinion.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at their thematic session. So this took place in August, right?
Yep, the end of August.
Okay. And they have inclusive communities, leaving no one behind, climate change, of course, communities in action, peaceful societies, recovering from conflict and nurturing peace, which the United Nations seems to be one that lets genocide go on right in front under their noses. Youth-led session, creating opportunities and economic success for youth, infrastructure and natural resource use, emerging technologies and innovation, impact investing and closing the SDC financing gap, local and regional governments, leading the way to sustainable communities. All this basically means cutting off your resources, which has to do a lot with this climate change that they push, that fossil fuels are bad. We need to go to all renewables. But what people don't realize is they're asking, and when they brainwash these kids into these climate change proposals, that they're basically just asking for their own destruction, because they're going to take away your electricity. They're going to take away your modern form of life. They want you to live like a serf while they live, the overlords, the UN overlords, like this lady here who works for them. She's a guard, so she'll have one level above where the peons are, because the enforcers always are above. They get treated a little bit better, so that's why they enforce. And then the elites on top of that, that live in the lap of luxury, are eating the best types of foods, aren't being subjected to vaccines on a continuous basis, and all the rest are going to be subsistence farmers eking out a meager living. Does that sound like what the United Nations was pushing?
Yeah, they're only listening to the youth that agree with all those points that they're going to put in their youth charter. And if the youth go along with it, they'll say, hey, the youth wanted it and it stands. And now we have, you know, this new form of government forced upon everyone. It really has no authority legitimately, but they can pretend really well. And I need your help with other babies, you guys. We need to excuse you guys. Do you have any other real quick things to say? What did your card say? Were you passing out cards, Wyatt? What does yours say?
Every child is our child.
So every child is our child. That's the motto for UNICEF.
Oh, yeah, so they own your children. Okay.
The UN's potential for evil far outweighs its potential for good.
Yeah. So we know that a lot of people think that the UN is doing a lot of good, and we wanted to let people know they're doing more harm than good. One thing about that security guard, too, that we found out is that she is the head of security guard of security in the United Nations. We want to talk about that in a minute. But Wyatt, do you at least want to go help the babies? I can hear they need your help. Could you do that? This is one reason we do it as a family, because everybody has a different job and a different role. And we need each other. And society works better when families have the right principles and they move forward like that. We don't need big world government to tell us what to do. So,
exactly. I totally agree with you. And that is the problem. See, you're the problem to the United Nations, because they don't want family units. They want to do away with the family so they can raise the children in the way they seem fit. And this is real stuff. And what's scary is you guys are probably more of the minority in Salt Lake City. I bet a lot of people thought it was great that the UN was there and taking over a building and calling it international territory.
Well, and one of the things that was a little bit shocking as well that not many people knew is that the Utah State Legislature had actually agreed to fund this event. And so they had funded it to the tune of $750,000 from the state of Utah citizens. They only used $650,000 of that, not for new infrastructure. In fact, we're not really sure what that was used for. As a family, we were there trying to figure out just exactly where did this money go. But it certainly was not representative of the citizens of Utah and what we would have liked to have seen that money go towards.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. What it seems, you know, looking around, I didn't see much of the site, but they had a nice website how they were going to help the children, and it's all inclusive. But then if you're not pitching or receiving the right message, then you're asked to leave. And especially if you're pulling out a phone. I wonder if anybody was allowed to videotape any of the propaganda in this event. We're going to be right back with the Brown family to finish up. With, you know, just exposing the UN, saying, hey, we can take over public buildings and their international territory. This is insane. And then they were given money by the Utah State Legislature. $650,000 is what they spent. Where'd it go to? Payoffs, lavish parties, but not to the citizens.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Is it okay, you turn off the camera, Dennis.
Oh, turn off the camera?
Yeah.
Do I not have a right to have the camera?
I'm not giving you permission to check my face, so...
Okay, are you a public servant?
I'm a United Nations security officer.
Okay.
Okay.
This is my city, and so I have a right to film.
This is United Nations compound?
A United Nations compound?
Yes.
This is a compound?
Yeah. Since Sunday evening, we took over this compound. This is international territory. When you step outside, it's U.S. Here is international territory.
International territory in the middle of Salt Lake City, run by the United Nations, and they're referring to the Salt Palace as the compound. See if you guys can find a picture of the Salt Palace. Let's show people what an international territorial compound looks like. We have with us the Brown family, Amy Brown and husband Nathan, and their three kids. I think one of them got up. He was like, hey, I'm done with this, which is kind of funny. It happens. Hey, I got four kids, so I know what it's like. Sounds like you got another one, another little one in the background too, which is great. That's the thing that the control freaks hate to see. They hate to see families. They hate to see families doing things together. They hate to see families getting along. They don't like the family unit. Nathan, please show that card that you showed us during the break. Because, go ahead.
This was what was being handed out.
One of 10.
So just, you know, a nice quote, every child is our child. And that is from the UNESCO motto for the United Nations Children's. And obviously that was something that people just did not like. You know, the United Nations planned tyranny. And then also this one, UN's potential for evil far outweighs its potential for good. So those were some of the quotes that we were passing out as members of Defending Utah, which for us was very exciting because without that organization bringing this to our attention, we would have probably, like many others, let this just pass right by us. But thanks to the good people at defendingutah.org, we were able to find out about this and then mobilize and go down and film and do some interviews. And we have a lot of other exciting content that Defending Utah is going to be releasing and posting here down the line a little bit. But yeah, very troubling for me as a husband to have, you know, my wife confronted by a security officer telling her, this is a compound and you need to leave.
And it's international territory. That to me blows my mind that can be shown. Now, Rob over here in the control room found a website that has to do with that. Every child, pull that up on the TV. Every child is our child program. This is the Unitarian Universalist. And of course, it's United Nations office right there. Every child is our child program guided by our principles. We're going to advocate for international human rights, promoting inherent worth, dignity of every person. Yeah, that sounds all good, but this Every Child is Our Child works to empower women and children in the region of Ghana. But what that really means is they want to control what your child sees, what your child thinks, and what your child believes, and what your child gets. They don't like the family unit. It's like the Hunger Games. They want to have the families raise the children and provide them food and shelter, but then they get shipped off to the learning centers or the fields where they work. Or they're learning a trade, or they're learning something to fulfill what the masters want. So it's modern-day slavery couched in, oh, we're going to help everybody. But it's not about helping people. It's about control, and it's about domination. Anything you guys want to add to this? Go ahead, Amy. You look like you want to jump in.
More and more people are becoming aware of what you're exposing. And as they do so, we wanted to send out an open invitation to contact defendingutah.org. For local implementation of what they are doing in their own state. So you can receive training and help to take your local government back, and defendingutah.org will help you do that in your local area. And they know what they're doing inside and out, and you can trust them. And we need each other, and we need to stick together because it is, you know, an opposing of two forces, and you're going to have to choose a side. Everyone will have to choose a side. And so, you know, if you want to join with people that are fighting for liberty and freedom, then contact them. And also, we wanted to let you know something we found out about the security guard that I mentioned earlier. So she was the head of all of security for the United Nations. And so we feel that Heavenly Father sort of just landed us there and that needed to be exposed. Because I think a lot of people are going to say, well, she said that, but she doesn't really know what she's doing. She was just some security guard. But she was the head of everybody. So we found that out because one of our members had been thrown out, and he saw all of the other security guards deferring to her and asking her opinion, and the police were deferring to her, our local police. We're paying for our own control here.
Wasn't it appropriate that a mother with her children created such a security concern with her camera that the head of security needed to come and ask her to leave?
Ooh, we were just dangerous, I tell you. Those babies.
But you are dangerous to their ideas, and their ideas are total control over humans. And you're just like, hey, I'm a family. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute. You're a family? Get out of here. We can't have a family here. We want the children over here so we can program, and we want you over here so you can shut up. That's what they want to do to the family units here. And I don't even know how this got. How did this even get brought into the situation? How did this happen? How did the United Nations even get invited to this program? Do y'all know anything about that?
Yeah, if you go to defendingutah.org or United, I don't want to get it wrong.
United Nations Utah.
Thank you. UnitedNationsUtah.com, then it will outline exactly how they were invited here by our mayor and our legislator. And they opted to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to get them here, which is disgusting. So it really is, you know, any way you spin that, that's a conspiracy against the taxpayers, because we didn't ask them to come. They weren't wanted. We actually, before this event, we went to a youth event and we were practically the only ones there. We thought it was canceled because we couldn't find anyone. Salt Lake City did not want them here. There was no demand to bring them here from Utah at all. And so we made a small, just our family video about that one, but it was empty. The park had nobody in it. And then when it came time for their little breakout, we couldn't find anyone, so we went home. And
it sounds like a Joe Biden rally.
Yeah, right. Actually. Yeah. So, right before this security guard walks up to me, I was actually talking to the lady, do you remember this, that ran that youth event. And she said, where'd you go? We couldn't find you. And I said, well, I couldn't find you either. I think there was literally two or three other people, or maybe four. Was there four people? But I think they were the people that ran the event.
And she actually, yeah, people there, just the people she was telling us that nobody came. She said, I think a lot of people were going to come, but they just never showed up.
Yeah. So there was no demand from citizens for this event. That's the point.
Well, and I would just add as well that what this hopefully can do for a lot of your viewers is that we're not anybody special as a family. We just chose to get up and leave our home and go observe. And our hope would be that we could inspire other families to do likewise, that this isn't something that our president is going to fix for us. Unfortunately, our legislatures are probably not going to fix this either. But citizen activists can 100% make a difference.
Well, let me tell you, I commend what you guys did, and that's what it takes. And they were afraid. They were afraid of you guys, and that says a lot, that one family can go and make a difference. I salute the Brown family. Thank you very much. We're going to have the head of Defending Utah up next and get his perspective on what's going on in the world.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
There's cucks.
You're fucking white male!
And then there's the cuck slayer.
If you impeach Trump, it'll be civil war.
It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Is that what you want?
Watch the live stream right now at Infowars.com/show.
There they are with the all-seeing eye, but they're all doing the okay sign, something that the ADL says is bad. And then they're showcasing the all-seeing eye, but there's an okay sign. Oh, double okay sign. Wow. But there they are. That was Biebs there at the end, Biebler. So the contest was come up with a 1 minute idea for this OK hat for a commercial, and you're going to get this hat right here, Ashley. And so while what the deliberation was, let me show you the three finalists that we had. But then I went back and was looking through again. I go, wait, this person also had something, and I'll show you his. But the first one, let's play the first one, which was, I think, Fentanyl the Dragon. And let's see what that one looks like. Go ahead. There it is. Anything with Fentanyl the Dragon would be hilarious and definitely push sales. I'm probably going to put fentanyl in the ad. And let's go to the next one, which was How Dare You in Greta's voice. Can we hear the How Dare You? Maybe. There we go.
How dare you?
I might combine them. And then here is Soul Memes. It said, just make a montage of liberals doing the OK sign with the hat on. And so then I was going back looking through my replies, and there's one from CrogDog101 that says, a commercial full of all the times liberals were caught on camera using the OK sign with device, put it to some music and make each still frame appear for a second and then move on to the next. Very good directing. I like the directing, but CrogDog101 did not have putting the hat on their head, which is the whole thing to do to make it, you know, so you have Jay-Z doing this and then the hat falls on his head. And then you have Beyonce doing it, hat falls on her head. And so I could see the animation and the funniness to that. So, and then I was looking at timestamps and seeing what things were right. But so I think the winner is Soul Memes is going to get this hat. But if I could get more, I might send one out to everybody that we use from. So the guy that came with the fentanyl one, the guy with the How Dare You, I'll see if I can get a couple more and send to you guys, because I think we'll also use those in there. Maybe every time it lands on somebody, how dare you? And then fentanyl, like, you're a good commie slave. Don't you use okay, ADL, not like that. I'm not even the voice of fentanyl, but that's just a bad representation. So congratulations to Soul Memes. I'll be contacting you on DMs and we'll send you this hat out right away. We hope you take a picture, use this hat and use it for good. So we now go to the head of defendingutah.org, and it's Ben McClintock, and we're going to talk about a whole host of issues or what's going on in Utah, because who's the senator in Utah that's stabbing Trump in the back right now? Oh, that's right. That's Mitt Romney, the failed presidential candidate, who's now looking like he wants to make another run, and which is why he got back into, you know, why would you go from being an executive, a governor of Massachusetts, right? He was governor of Massachusetts, but now he's senator of Utah. That is what used to be called carpetbagging, and those people used to be tarred and feathered and kicked out of the state. But let's go to Ben right now. How you doing, Ben McClintock?
Hey, glad to be with you. Thanks so much.
I think I heard him there, but it sounded like it was garbled Skype. Say it one more time, Ben. How you doing?
Okay. Hey, good. Thank you so much for having me.
There you go. There you go. So you guys, it seems like it's a ragtag bunch of families and pro-family people who are just going out there exposing what is going on. How did you, what made you want to start your group, and what kind of things have you been doing?
Well, a lot of things that you guys talk about, we realized that these things were happening on the local level, but we don't have, you know, UN troops invading. I mean, except for this last thing we had where they took over the compound, but it's our local officials that are taking over, that are implementing the United Nations agenda. And a lot of these things, like with the globalists, with the Council on Foreign Relations, they're actually implementing things on the local level. And so we decided to investigate and find out, who are these people that are involved? How are these things being done? Like the state of Utah, the legislature a few years ago did a resolution to oppose the United Nations. And then just this year, then they spent $650,000 taxpayer dollars to bring the United Nations in. And so we work to make sure that people understand what's really going on, the bait and switch with our elected officials, that this is a bipartisan betrayal, and then to organize us all to be able to defend liberty in the state of Utah and all over the country.
Yeah, it really is amazing that they think they can go, and I want to play this video again, just because to me it's shocking. When I saw it, I honestly could not believe that it was happening in the United States of America. You know, Utah is where we had the railroads meet. East and West met in Utah. And I mean, so Utah's got a lot of history to it. The Great Salt Lake, it was great skiing there and snowboarding in Utah. And then, of course, there's Mitt Romney, which we'll get to in a second. But let's play this video one more time so you can really hear. This is the head of security of the United Nations organization telling a Utah family, that they have to turn off their cameras and leave because they are shedding light on their dark activities. Here it is.
Is it okay you turn off the camera and then I speak?
Oh, turn off the camera?
Yeah.
Do I not have a right to have the camera?
I'm not giving you permission to check my face, so...
Okay, are you a public servant?
I'm a United Nations security officer.
Okay. Does...
Okay.
This is my city, and so I have a right to film.
This is United Nations compound?
A United Nations compound?
Yes.
This is a compound?
Yeah. Since Sunday evening, we took over this compound. This is international territory. When you step outside, it's U.S. Here is international territory. This is U.N. compound.
This is international territory. The Salt Palace in Salt Lake City, Utah is international territory. That's what that U.N. security official was saying. And you have to bitterly oppose things like this. Next time, well, I tell you what, they ever come to Texas and try that, they're going to have another thing coming. They're going to have cameras in their face. Because you got to stand up to these people. Because they think if you don't stand up to them, then you're agreeing to it. And they think, oh yeah, it's cool. Now we're going to take something else. Interestingly enough, do you know who gave the land for the UN building in New York City? It was the Rockefellers. Because they're global government globalists. And they want an unelected board of people to decide how you live your life. They don't like elections. Even the elections that we have now that are mostly fraudulent, that have lots of problems, at least it's still people going out there and you have to actually beat a system to do fraud. But and there is a lot of fraud. Just look up Fraction Magic from blackboxvoting.org. Are we ready back with Ben? All right. Okay. Yeah, we had a little bit of a Skype issue, but here's a couple other things. They have a Utah radio station, a little YouTube channel where they play, you know, kind of what we do, but a little more lower scale. But when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about Mitt Romney and how he works against Utah values, how CPS agents are allowed to commit perjury to steal your kids. Remember what I was saying earlier? FBI is allowed to lie. They're allowed to say whatever they want. But if you lie to the FBI, if you're caught fibbing, oh, well, then you're committing perjury and you have charges brought against you. You could get jail time, just like George Papadopoulos and what could be happening to Roger Stone, who's about to go to trial. Utah Attorney General building North Korea-style Big Brother and police state. Remember here in Austin, Texas? We were talking about this just the other day. Homeless being implanted with trackable microchips. Program rolled out in Latin America and third world countries, now coming to Texas. And what they're going to do this under the guise of, well, we have to know who we're giving services to. You know, we want to make sure we're giving the homeless people the right service, the people that are actually homeless. So we're going to put them a little microchip that says who they are and where they come from and what they can get and if they've gotten something today. See, it's for you. It's for all your tax dollars. No, it's setting the precedent to implant microchips into your body. And do you think they're going to stop at the homeless? No. They're going to roll it out nationwide for your best interest, though. We'll be right back after this.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Segment of the War Room. I've just got out of the lecture hall where Alex Epstein just finished up his analysis on what I guess you would just say really is energy production and consumption. So just to kind of give an analysis of this, obviously you've seen the rhetoric going around in Congress and certain news outlets, actually for hundreds of years, the climate scare tactics. Oh, the earth is going to end in 10 years, 20 years. I remember watching An Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore back in the years like 2002 when it came out that said all these lands were going to be underwater and the ice caps would be totally melted. Well, now the ice caps are totally expanded. Al Gore hasn't issued a retraction of that quote-unquote documentary. But
Alex Epstein today, it was a very interesting lecture because it comes from a neutral perspective. He's not coming from a perspective that says, hey, you know, let's only consume fossil fuels. And he's putting together analysis that says, look, there's costs and benefits. So it's a really straight down the line, philosophical, statistical, data-driven analysis of this phenomenon of quote-unquote man-made climate change, which, of course, when measured against other factors that change the climate is actually very mediocre. And the one thing that people don't tend to consider that I thought Alex did a great job today pointing out is there are not just benefits to consuming energy, no matter what type it is, but there's going to be negatives when you try to curb energy production. And that's not something that we hear about. What about all the people that right now get heating in their homes for a cheap cost, you know, AC in hot cities for a cheap cost? You know, the United States has some of the cheapest energy available for consumption. That's because of fossil fuels and the way we go about distributing them. And by the way, when we talk about man-made climate change, it always seems like the United States has to be the one to pay. But we forget about China and all their coal plants and the production in India. But again, when analyzed with data analysis, it turns out that the consumption and the energy use of these fossil fuels actually adds to the quality of life. So here's the real question that I think has to be asked for the climate change audience, the man-made climate change is going to kill the world audience. At what cost and how do you measure the costs of curbing energy consumption and deciding where that energy goes? Because are you going to sacrifice your way of living? Are you going to turn off your AC? Are you going to turn off your heat? Are you going to stop driving your car? Are you going to stop flying on airplanes? And most people would say,
Owen,
no.
If I could break in, notice the cultists, they all talk about, oh, this is for the poor people. We got to do climate change for the poor. You start right. Curbing electricity and energy and cheap energy, the poor are the first ones to suffer.
Yeah. And he points that out in his lecture here today, too, which, again, was really neutral. I think there's certain things that maybe I would even disagree with him on philosophically. But overall, when it comes to data-driven, not even opinions, just to say, hey, here's the data, you make a choice with it. Because we don't really get this data laid out in front of us like this. It either comes from one side or the other, and we don't have a benefit cost analysis, which he did a great job. And it made me think about that, too, because, you know, I just see the left hyping up all of these false, you know, conspiracies to get freaked out over. And you just add man-made climate change to the list. But when you think about the importance of energy production and consumption and then what it does to the quality of life, this is something we don't talk about. Now, I think we have a group of students here that probably disagree with what I'm saying. I think they may be part of a climate justice group. Did you guys hear any of that lecture? All right, silence from the Environmental Justice Committee out here. Is that who you guys are with? Would anybody care to talk? Well, I mean, if you really think that climate change is going to kill the world, don't you think you should, like, tell people about it, right? I mean, if it's such a dire thing with consequences, wouldn't you want to tell people about this? I mean, is that what you think?
Absolutely. I think it's really important for us to talk about climate issues, but I feel like your audience wouldn't really be receptive to it.
But my audience might be the audience that needs
to
hear.
Absolutely. But they're already listening to you, and I feel like maybe you have authority.
Well, let me just ask you this. What is the cost-benefit analysis that you've done to curbing fossil fuel production?
What is – first, do you have an analysis on your end?
Yeah, actually, so because of – fossil fuels, we get cheap energy here in the United States. We have maybe some of the cheapest energy in the world. This allows for the highest standard of living. Would you disagree that the United States has the highest standard of living right now?
That's really hard to say. I don't know. There's rolling blackouts happening in parts of California because...
That's because of fires, though. That's not because of energy problems. And by the way, California has the strictest energy consumption laws.
Well, I think that's really interesting, but I think there's a lot more nuance to that beyond the fires, like who is in charge of the production of the energy. I don't know if you've looked into that, but...
Who is it?
PG&E.
Well, what's wrong with PG&E then?
Well, I think it's really interesting that the way our energy infrastructure is created has led to some rolling blackouts in California.
But those are policies done by Democrats and people like Barbara Boxer who would actually agree with you philosophically.
Well, I don't really care about Democrats or Republicans.
Okay, fair enough. But you have to admit it's the Democrats that are pushing for deals like the Green New Deal. Would you like to see the Green New Deal passed?
I guess. But, I mean, it depends on how the Democrats frame it.
Well, would you be willing to cut your lifestyle, not heat or cool your home or drive a car or fly on an airplane? Would that be something you would be willing to do for the rest of your life on Earth to stop climate change?
Yes, and I would like for all of you to...
Yeah, would you guys like to talk too? You don't have to put all the pressure on her here. She does have the nicest jacket, but come on.
What the Green New Deal says, I haven't read a ton of it, but it's not saying that each individual has to cut a bunch of stuff out of our life. Like as consumers, make small changes to our lives, but there are fundamental and systematic changes that.
I want to finish up with our guest just a little bit. We had a little bit of a Skype issue, but he's also recording HD of that, so that it's all going to go out later. And I'm going to jump real quick. That is, you get the same thing over and over again. These people don't even know what they're talking about. They have no idea that they're going to have to cut their lifestyle drastically if they want to reach these goals. So let's go to Ben McClintock. Ben, why don't you just give a quick rundown of what your group does, why you got together, and how other people could start groups like this in their area. We got about 3 minutes.
Yeah, really quickly, we just looked at what the legislature was doing. They said they opposed the United Nations, but then they give $650,000 taxpayer dollars to support it. And so we saw that going over and over again, even though we're a Republican legislature. In the state of Utah, a lot of Democrats, what they've done is they've become Republicans, and so that people will vote for them, and then they implement things like supporting and bringing the United Nations here, even though most Utahns oppose it. And so what we've done is just a lot of background on being able to understand how the United Nations is implementing their programs locally, as through legislatures or through local county and regional governments. And so we offer training to be able to help communities all across the country to be able to be much more effective in helping their cities and their states stop implementing the United Nations agenda. And so at defendingutah.org, we offer investigative reports. You mentioned some of them. I really appreciate about the CPS being able to commit perjury to steal people's children. I love the interview that you had earlier about how they're claiming that you're not going to have to change your lifestyle, where the United Nations under Agenda 21 says that, air conditioning, meat eating, regular middle class life is not sustainable. So when they talk about sustainable development, they're talking about getting rid of our current way of life.
And yeah, they have people literally clamoring for their own destruction, and they don't realize it because they're uneducated and they're not looking at the real roots of the problem. Now, let's go to that $650,000 that the legislature gave to the UN. Do we know where this money went?
No, it was just kind of in the general line item. The United Nations requested $750,000, and our legislature, in their great benevolence, said, oh, we're only going to give you $650,000 and then provide you with the building and provide you with the police force surrounding the building to make sure none of these riffraff get in here to expose what they're doing.
And they claimed it to be an international territory. What does that say to you when you hear those words? This is an international territory. This is a United Nations compound.
It tells you exactly what we've been saying, is that the United Nations Declaration on Human Rights does not protect your rights. It actually says you don't have them if they go against the United Nations agenda. We were exposing the United Nations agenda, so they shut down citizen journalists. And this is what you have to expect when the United Nations gets more power, when your city and your county and your states implement the United Nations agenda.
Man, I tell you what, we need more groups like you. It's good to see that you're out there. I just learned about you today, and it was great to get you on the show. We'll be having you on more in the future. I salute you for taking action at Defending Utah on Twitter. And you can check them out at defendingutah.org. Get out there and do something like this in your community. Stop the United Nations from declaring your public spaces as international territory. That's it for the War Room. Thanks for watching. I'm Rob Dew. You can follow me on Twitter @DewsNews. Thanks for watching, and go to InfoWarsStore.com and support what we're doing. Thank you.